You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
After months of allegedly anti-narcotic hostilities in the Caribbean around Venezuela, at the beginning of this year, the United States, under President Trump, struck the country directly and kidnapped Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. The incursion has been justified by the US on account of accusations of narco-terrorism, with the US angling for regime change. As this comes to a head, however, discussions have re-emerged around the role that the US should play as a geopolitical power in South America and the Western Hemisphere as a whole. I spoke to Professor Robert Patman, a senior lecturer in political science at the University of Otago, about the attack and what this means for Trump's plans in the area. For starters, what have we actually seen here from the US?
What we've seen from the US is an intervention in Venezuela. It falls short of regime change, but Mr. Trump has effectively said, of having abducted the head of state, Nicolas Maduro, and his partner, his wife, and brought them to New York to face justice, U.S. justice, Mr. Trump has done two things. Firstly, he said that he will effectively run the country until there are conditions for what he calls a safe transition of power. And secondly, he's opened discussions. In fact, he met with U.S. Oil company executives on Saturday, which, in his, according to Mr. Trump's vision, which will allow U.S. companies, the largest or amongst the largest oil companies in the world, to access Venezuela's oil. It should be pointed out to our listeners that Venezuela has the world's largest known oil reserves, but its oil industry has been floundering recently. So, in a sense, Mr. Trump claims he will run Venezuela for in the interim. So what we've seen here is U.S. intervention. What is quite clear also is that unilaterally removing Maduro from power means that the U.S. has violated its own laws, as federal laws, as well as international law. In the case of Venezuela, there was no threat to the national security of the United States. So I suppose, to answer your question, what we've seen is the application of the principle that might is right to Venezuela. My own sense is that, on the evidence of what we've seen so far, although it's led to triumphalism within some of Mr. Trump's supporters, this could lead to severe blowback problems to the United States, both in Venezuela, but also internationally.
And looking at the justification that the Trump administration has given for this incursion, do those justifications hold much validity, or are they inconsistent with what we've seen from the US here?
Well, those charges against Nicolas Maduro and the claims made before he was detained will now be tested in the US court system in New York. And, of course, it's not preordained that the administration will be successful in their legal actions against Maduro. He's on mainly drug-related charges, as well as the possession of weapons, which seems a bit odd. And one or two legal commentators have suggested that the administration may have its work cut out actually winning the legal case against Maduro in New York. And so that's an interesting sort of sidebar in itself. With respect to your deeper question, to what extent are these charges justified? I've got to be quite clear here. Venezuela is a country in which is run by an authoritarian, has been run by an authoritarian state. And probably is not averse to boosting, its economy is struggling, and is not averse to getting additional resources through sometimes involvement in international criminal activities. Having said that, it's not the biggest cause or the biggest exporter of drugs to the United States by a very long way. China and also in Mexico are responsible for transmitting or having hosting groups or linked to groups which transmit drugs like fentanyl, which is something which is a major concern for Mr. Trump. But Mr. Trump seems to be focusing on the symptoms rather than the cause of the problem. The cause of the drug problem, of course, is that there's many Americans who are able and willing to buy these drugs. And because there's a demand for these drugs in the United States, there's no shortage of people happy to try to help satisfy that demand and make a lot of money in the process. So, in short, I'm not sure that Venezuela's relatively low-level involvement in the drug market would justify overthrowing and detaining a head of state of another country.
And just to pivot slightly, looking at both the actions of the Trump administration in the lead-up to this event, but also kind of the wider geopolitical posturing of particularly this administration, could we have seen this coming? Is this par for the course with their current geopolitical avenues, or is this kind of a shock pivot to a more aggressive tactic?
No, it's not a shock pivot. It's fully in keeping with the position that the United States has taken since Trump returned to the White House. In December, the Trump administration published something called the National Security Document or Statement, and that outlines, it was published, as I say, the National Security Strategy. Amongst other things, the strategy indicated the U.S. wished to reestablish its dominance in the Western Hemisphere, a sort of updated version of the 1823 Monroe Doctrine, which was a sort of 19th century U.S. strategy of protecting its position in South America from rival European countries at the time. In short, the spheres of influence was outlined in the national security approach that was published. And if you look at America's actions since Trump returned to office, in his first 9 months, he's taken the view that he's taken the side of Mr. Putin in the dispute with Ukraine following Putin's illegal invasion of Ukraine. That horrifies most liberal democracies because effectively the most powerful country in the world is siding with the aggressor against the victim of aggression. And so Mr. Trump has basically taken a position throughout the first 10, 11 months of the administration where basically he's shown little respect for the rules-based international order. And the action that he's taken in Venezuela confirms that he's serious about his vision of international relations. What is his vision of international relations? Mr. Trump has no time for international institutions or multilateralism, something which New Zealand believes in, both in the UN and also in the rule of law. I mean, that's crucial for most small and middle powers. But he doesn't believe in that. He believes in a sort of global hierarchy, a concert of powers, a concert of great powers. And in that document I just referred to, published by the US government in December last year, Mr. Trump explicitly outlines a vision for the world in his era being run by five great powers. The United States would sit at top of the table, along with China and Russia and India and Japan. There'll be little room at that table for the likes of New Zealand, or indeed Canada, Australia, or middle powers, or indeed most European countries. So this is a radically different approach. This is a major departure from any position taken by the US presidency, or US president, I should say, in the post-45 era. So Mr. Trump has broken with the past. He's now advocating a sort of back-to-the-future perspective of international relations, which in many respects parallels the 19th century concert of great powers that effectively presided over European security in the 19th century. The question is, will Mr. Trump's vision fit with the 21st century, where you have many more countries than you did in the 19th century, and virtually all of those countries, however small, jealously guard their sovereignty and their national interests? And it does not look like a good fit to me.
Can we see this as a sort of a statement of intent, or starting as Trump means to continue with his eyes on this geopolitical hierarchy, can we expect to see more weaponization of force throughout both South America and the rest of the world going forth?
If we are to believe the rhetoric of the administration, we must prepare ourselves for that possibility. Mr. Trump seems to be in heady form since overthrowing Maduro. And he has already warned Cuba. Cuba largely imported oil from Venezuela. And since America now has effectively taken over control of Venezuela's oil industry, has warned Cuba that they will have to deal with the United States from now on. They will have to make a deal. He's also threatened the leadership of neighboring Colombia. Colombia is a neighbor of Venezuela. He's also threatening to annex Greenland. And earlier in his presidency, the United States threatened to invade Canada as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.